What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast. My name is Jacob Cooker, but my friends call me Cub, and you should too. Every day on the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast, I am here to help you unlock the supernatural power of ancient mysteries. And today is no different. We've got a brand new set of scripture we're going to be diving into today. If you are new to the channel, just know that I go through a whole lot of ancient scriptures here. We do everything from the Bible to the Bhagavad Gita to ancient mysticism. Today we're doing some Gnostic scriptures. This is called the Sophia of Jesus Christ. It is a fantastic set of scriptures that I am very, very excited to get into. So this is episode 410. 410, not 10-4, but 410. So I'm very excited to get into it with you guys. We got Loose Guys. What is up? Angel Appleseed, welcome. Moon Man, welcome. K-Ro Jack, what's going on? Kate, how are you? Isaac, thanks for being here. Appreciate you guys joining Abundance. Thanks for being here. Shinda, thanks for joining. Davey, how are you? Crew, what is up? Principito, how are you? We got a lot of people joining, so thank you guys. As the stream kind of gets populated here, I'll get going and read the scripture. I normally give people a little bit of time to get on. What's up, Teresa? How are you? Teresa says, hey, Cub, where did you get that picture of me? I know. I found it in the yearbook, right? This artwork, a lot of you guys comment on my artwork. We've got a very specific style we're working with for the website and the new t-shirts. It's like a very psychedelic black lighty type artwork. So that's kind of what I've been really repping lately. I do a lot of different styles across my regular social media, but I'm really vibing on this type of artwork for a lot of the stuff that I'm doing recently. So if you're on Facebook right now or YouTube, you're going to be able to see that. So this is, the Sophia, wisdom, right? Mary Magdalene, the Mother Mary, a lot of different feminine characters throughout the biblical canon, as well as lots and lots of ancient mysticism. So that's kind of one of the things that I get into that I really, really like about mysticism is the balance of divine feminine and divine masculine, which is, guys, that's something we need. We need that. We need that. We need that. If you don't have that balance in your life, you're out of balance. If you don't have that balance in the world, we're out of balance. And divine feminine, divine masculine coming together, bearing the Christ or the light, aka father energy, mother wave, and the child is the particle or the sunlight. And so again, that's my quantum God theory that I talk about all the time. Today, we're going to get into this scripture, which literally reveals who and what God is. If you've never heard this, great. You're going to learn something today. I learned something. I have a very mystical view of God, but this gave me a very direct one-line answer to who or what God is, and I promise to reveal that before the end of this today. Don't go skipping around and looking for it, okay? If you're looking for short content, go watch my shorter videos, but this is meant to go together. I'm going to read from the very beginning of this scripture all the way through the very first section on it. It's a pretty long, it's about 10 pages. So we're only going to read like a half a page today, but we're going to discuss it. I want to know what you guys think. You can comment at any point, as long as your comment is nice, kind, loving, full of light. I'll probably read it. So I do my best to grab everybody's comments. So this is an all-inclusive community, everybody in love and light. All different walks of life, race, religion, tradition, orientation. You're welcome here. In fact, you're loved here. In fact, we want you here. If you want to go much deeper with what I'm talking about, I do have a mastermind membership. We meet with that every single week. I just dropped it in the comments there. And you can also join by scanning the QR code or visiting my website, which is linked in my bio, my profile, or the about section, or the description, depending on where you're watching or listening. And it's at cubkuker.com. That's cubkuker.com. Cub like a baby bear, Cooker, cuker.com. You can find out all the information. The whole page is dedicated to my mastermind. So go check that out. We've got coaching calls every single weekend. We have our built-in community over there on my website. We have courses in the academy there. You can direct chat with myself and others. It is an all-inclusive community. It is so much fun, so awesome. It's all virtual, so you can do it anywhere you're at. There is an app you can download already, and we're working on a branded app. I'm in talks about doing that already this week. So Warren says, Catholic here. Are you against me? Absolutely not. My wife is Catholic. My wife that I'm married to. So if you think I'm against you, you don't understand mysticism. So mysticism says that everybody is right. Everybody has a piece of the puzzle, and mystics are looking to put all of those pieces together. I personally am a mystic. Doesn't make me better than anyone else at all. It just says that I don't take any of this stuff literally. And a lot of religious traditions do put the literal stamp on it. And for me, if I see anything literally, I think it's just an outward reflection of an inward truth or a truth within me that I've already created that paradigm of. Because I believe reality is, in effect, an illusionary reality, aka a simulation reality. And so I'm going to teach to that a bit today. I'm going to teach how Jesus was sharing this very mystical point of view here. Again, the Sophia of Jesus Christ. Especially if you are Catholic, you'll probably really enjoy this one because you can view the Sophia of Jesus Christ as Mary Magdalene or the Virgin Mary, the Mother Mary. You can view that that same wisdom coming through your own mother, your own wife, your own girlfriend, you know, whatever that is, any sort of mother figure in your life. Again, whatever orientation you are, I love you. I respect you. I support you. I believe that we are all one. And, again, that's where I come from as a mystic here. So, but we'd love to have anybody that is interested join the mastermind. I'll talk a lot more about that as we get into the episode today. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading here. Let me take a couple of questions and then I'll jump into the text now that we got some people joining. So, Wendy says, I'd call it spiritual more than any other label. Good for you, my friend. Absolutely. Sophia of Jesus Christ, I've heard stories about this. Rick says, yeah, Rick, this is very, very interesting scripture. It was found, it's found in actually three different sets of scripture. And what's interesting about that is, you know, basically three different points of data are corroborating the authenticity of this scripture, which I really like. I'm not a big fan of reading stuff that I don't really, you know when or where it came from. Things like the Emerald Tablets of Thoth have pretty well been, you know, agreed upon to be a channeled work. A guy named Doriel channeled them, you know, finally came out and said, hey, I didn't actually find them in a tomb. You know, I channeled these, I contacted the god Thoth. And I was given these in a vision. So, you know, much like the book of Revelation, by the way, we can't corroborate Revelation because it's not like it was a passed down teaching. It was an inspired work or a download or a revelation or a vision, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, a channeled work. Again, I don't have any issue with those, but I do really like things like this that are based on teachings and practices that actual people would have practiced and believed and built their understandings around. So that's what I really like about ancient scripture, and that's why I focus on unlocking the supernatural elements of ancient data, ancient belief systems, and ultimately the greater ancient mysteries. So this translation of the Sophia of Jesus, also sometimes titled the Wisdom of Jesus Christ, is derived from two separately preserved copies of the text. The first is from the Nag Hammadi Codex 3, or NHC 3. A second copy of this text was preserved in the Berlin Gnostic Codex. A third fragment of the text in Greek was also found among the I had this earlier when I read it. How do you say that? Oxyrhynchus papyrus. Oxyrhynchus. papyrus. I'm sure I'm butchering that, but you know, somebody's smarter than me and they can figure out how to say that. So, thus we have three distinct copies of the scripture, attested from three ancient sources, two in Coptic and one in Greek. So that again is a big reason I like to read what I call verified scripture. Doesn't have the verified badge on it like a social media influencer, but it does say this was important enough at one point to write down in multiple languages, in multiple formats, and get passed around as a mystery teaching or an ancient teaching. And I really, really like that. So again, that's why I chose this scripture for our next one, because I wanted to get deeper into alchemy of the soul. And this is going to talk a lot about divine feminine, but it's also going to get much deeper into who the Father is. Now, if you've ever read the Bible and you'd be like, who is this Father that Jesus speaks of? Is he an alien? Is he like, you know, a sky daddy, cloud daddy? Like, who is this? You know, is this the storm god of the Old Testament, Yahweh? Is it a different god? You know, who is it? Well, this is going to reveal that nobody has ever met this God. Nobody has ever known this God or gotten it anywhere close as to what this God actually is, and that it shouldn't even really be called a God because it is so much different. In fact, it is so far beyond and above and better than our actual known universe that it's actually not even controlling anything in the universe. And we're going to see as we go through this why this is so important. If you're a mystic, if you're on that path of, hey, I don't know. Hey, I'm deconstructing, or maybe I should deconstruct. Maybe I want to deconstruct. Maybe I don't have any affiliation, but I'm open to different ideas about what this divine force might be. Because Jesus said in the canonical scriptures, the kingdom of God is within you. Basileia, Theos, Intos. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with outward visible signs, for the kingdom of God is within you. And that is actually the direct quote if you look up the original Keown Greek that it was recorded in. We know he spoke Aramaic, but it was recorded in Keown Greek. It's a very specific language with very specific meanings. And that phrase is Basileia Theos Intos. So I talk about that all the time. I literally have it tattooed on my desktop on my computer, Basileia Theos Intos, kingdom of God within you. And that word Basileia, by the way, means the authority of the supreme being is within you. And so that changes the narrative because it's not no longer a place. It's an authority that we can exercise. It's an identity within us. It's a universal being. And we're going to actually see what that universal being is today. And I'm going to read some from the Bhagavad Gita as well and show you how Lord Krishna and this version of Jesus are revealing the same, in my opinion, the same universal, glorified, uncreated being of the universe that is beyond the universe. And it is fantastic, guys. I can't wait to get into it. So Talia says, we support you. Thank you so much, my friend. AF guy says Demiurge created the physical. Yes, that is according to Gnosticism, the Demiurge or Yaldabaoth or Yahweh or Baal in some traditions, or it would be Enlil in the Sumerian pantheon, created the physical realm here. This comes from multiple points of view, by the way. If you look at ancient astronaut theory, the idea of terraforming, digging waterways, building cities and stuff was a form of creation that people would have looked at someone doing that on a mass scale and gone, clearly they made everything, right? And they would have worshipped them as making everything. On the esoteric level, does the God of the flesh, our flesh, my ego, does that not say, hey, I did all of this? Like, I'll do whatever I want, right? Like that's, you know, and I am a jealous God. I will get attention when I want it. You know, there's nothing more important than me, you know, says the ego. When you get into the higher realms of spirit and you begin to understand your higher self, then you start to go, okay, wait a minute, you know, the ego is not the highest God. There is one that is uncreated. There is one that is even beyond my mind that is my true self that I don't even know about yet, because it's not what I look in the mirror, me, myself, and I. It's something beyond that, that is the true me, right? And so that's, again, the esoteric view. And I try to look at a little bit of everything. Ancient astronaut theory, for me, is still a representation of what we have created through our mind in the 3D matrix we live in. And so therefore, if beings came down and created all of this, it's still us. Somehow, some way, we are the Elohim. And if we worship an Elohim, no matter what you name him or her, it's still us. If you've ever contacted a deity within you, it's still you. You are the channeled consciousness of that deity. Male, female, non-binary, whatever, doesn't matter. You are the vibration and the frequency of that deity, okay? There is nothing outside of self. And I'm going to show you guys what that looks like today in the context of sacred Christian scripture, mystic Christian scripture here. So Merle says, we are in heaven. Everyone is we. We are just having one experience on this map. Exactly. What's up, Honey Bee? How are you doing? I hope you're having a beautiful day. Thank you for being here. Okay, so I'm going to read some scripture. Let's do it. Let's dig in. Absolutely. Timmy, thank you for being here, my friend. This gets deep, so put on your waders. Let's go. The Sophia Wisdom of Jesus Christ. After he rose from the dead, his 12 disciples and 7 women continued to be his followers and went to Galilee onto the mountain called Divination and Joy. Now, I'm going to post this in the comments because I'm like, I could do an hour on this, an entire hour. There it is on the screen right here. After he rose from the dead, his 12 disciples and 7 women continued to be his followers and went to Galilee onto the mountain called Divination and Joy. Why did I stop here? Hidden within this, you guys that have been following me for a while, if you're in my mastermind community, you know exactly where I'm going with this. If you're not, you should be. We'll talk. I'll talk about that later. Okay. 12 disciples. Why is that important? 12 disciples of the Zodiac. Okay. And I'm not making this up. This is mystic scripture is laden with this type of symbolism. Even the Bible itself has this woven throughout it, but your church will never teach you about this. 12 disciples of the Zodiac and 7 women, 7 feminine energies here. Okay. What are those? They're the chakras. They are your energy centers within your body. Now, why are they feminine? Some traditions call the lower ones masculine, the upper ones feminine, and the heart chakra is the non-binary, the neutral zone of alchemy. That tends to be what I personally practice, but in a lot of traditions, including some Gnostic traditions, we have to remember that Gnostic scriptures are not all the same. It's not like there's one belief system they're pulling from. These are, you know, experiential data points that we pull from with this. But, you know, they considered the chakra systems to be a feminine thing because they're energy, they're invisible, sensitive energy centers within your metaphysical body. And then the zodiac, you know, are the placements or the incarnations that you go through when you incarnate here in the physical plane. What's up, Laura? How are you, my friend? What's up, Missy? Thanks for being here. Appreciate you guys. The 7 sisters of the Pleiades. Yes, exactly. So a lot of different things that we can connect this to. But again, for the purpose of today, I'm really looking at the 12 apostles of the Zodiac and the 7 feminine energy centers within your metaphysical body. Guys, you got them too. You just need to learn how to unlock them and use them. So that right away, I mean, we just first line, like if you just read through that, you wouldn't have a clue what this is talking about if you didn't stop to unlock the mysteries of this scripture. So, and he went to Galilee on the mountain called Divination and Joy. So there's there's something right there. Remember in the Old Testament, you're not supposed to practice divination, right? Well, Jesus is going there right now. He's going to the mountain called Divination and Joy. He's going to go and divine a message, which you should be doing too, okay? Remember, this Old Testament deity did not want any competition for its deityhood or its categorization or its authority as the God of all flesh. The self-proclaimed God of all flesh, the jealous God did not. This is the God of ego, by the way. Within esotericism and mysticism, this is not a real God, okay? This is not a God that actually walked the earth. This is not a God that was actually necessarily worshipped in name, okay? If you want to argue about all the history and stuff, go find another channel. That is not this channel. I don't care about the history. In fact, in my world, in the simulation, history doesn't even exist, okay? Because it's still a part of the narrative made up. I have no proof that anything existed before 1900. I've got pictures going back, you know, quite a ways. And I can tell, okay, I had a great grandfather at some point who I didn't know. I have no proof, but then I have stories from other people, but they could be characters that I make up within the simulation to spin the yarn, to tell the narrative. Just like when you turn on a video game and you plug into your PlayStation and all of a sudden there's a backstory for your character. Did that stuff really happen, or is it laying the groundwork for the game and the narrative for your character to play? So all these channels that sit there and argue about Jesus returned in this day and age, and quit arguing. It doesn't matter. Jesus didn't return in 70 AD. He didn't return today. He's been returning in a cycle. If any of that history exists, if you had ancestors before you, which you cannot prove, other than through genealogies and histories, and all that is an algorithm that you can plug in, plug and play, right? There is literally no fruit in arguing the literal interpretations of any of this. I'm telling you, I'm coming out and saying it now. This is my ground. This is what I stand on. This is what I believe. It does not help to argue when Jesus actually walked the earth, when he actually was unalived, and when he actually returned. You know, those historical points of data have zero bearing on your spiritual fruit. What does is understanding how that is you, is understanding how the old you has actually gone into the tomb and the new you has raised to new life and no one recognizes you, and it is no longer the flesh but the perfect flesh, and it is the true connection to God. It is, you are one of the chosen ones. It is, you have entered the higher mind and you have connected directly to God. And all of these stories we have about the religious construct and the socio-political, economic, all of the stuff in the time of Jesus, if you want to look at it as the time, certainly in the story and the narrative of Jesus, looks identical. Okay. Not a little bit. It looks identical to 2024 US of A. Same exact thing. I got a million churches out there spitting their truth right now through their doctrine, through their rituals, through their communions, through their Bible verses, through their connection of Jesus to Yahweh, through their whatever, through their belief in how the world should be run, all of this stuff. And I'm one voice in the wilderness saying, prepare the way, for the Lord will rise within you. And your Lord within you, whatever you choose, by the way, will be your Lord. That's why Jesus is a great Lord, because he is the mind or the consciousness that unlocks the true God within you, because there is zero separation between you and God. We are the Elohim talked about in the old scriptures. And once you get that, like once you really alchemize that and you quit arguing with yourself about it and you quit worrying about, well, historically, how did we come back as the Elohim? No, it's a narrative. Okay. It's a story. It's an allegory. It's texture laid into the backdrop of your Truman Show life, so you can figure out who you actually are. I am that I am, Nancy. Amen, my friend. Teresa says, you are the I am, and we are a complete consciousness. Amen, my friend. Absolutely. Nancy says, hallelujah. Absolutely. Yeah, Wendy, I heard about that. Very, very interesting. So, Wendy says, everything got destroyed before 1772. Yeah, absolutely. So again, we don't know. But again, how do you even know that that time period existed? Like, you have no experiential data to suggest that. You literally have to go off the voices of others who could literally be pre-programmed into your simulation. Like, that's the trippiest thought you will ever trip on. Trip on that for a minute. Like, take the time to think about that. Like, you experienced your grandparents, but they could be characters for you to play against. Mine were for me. Were they real to me? Absolutely. Did they really love me? Was that love real? Absolutely. But it taught me what the love of the true father and mother were. And then I had a lot of other things I suffered with in people that were closer to me. Okay. Sufferings and triumphs. But I want you guys to deeply think about this allegory and stuff. So again, quit arguing with yourself about timelines. Quit putting date stamps on everything. It's literally ruining your spirituality. I literally believe that. Every time someone wants to argue with me about this happened here and that happened there, it does not, like, you're not allowing yourself to unlock fully. And that's what, if you, this scripture is not to be taken literally whatsoever. So, divination and joy. You got to go to that mountain. And that mountain, again, that mountain doesn't have timestamps on it. You can go look at all the different theories behind that, but that is within you. When they gathered together and were perplexed about the underlying reality of the universe and the plan and the holy providence and the power of the authorities and about everything the Savior is doing with them, in the secret of the holy plan, the Savior appeared, not in his previous form, but in the invisible spirit. And his likeness resembles a great angel of light, but his resemblance I must not describe, the author says. No mortal flesh could endure it, but only pure, perfect flesh, like the one he taught us about on the mountain called of the Olives in Galilee. Now, one really interesting thing about yogic culture. Now, when I say yogic culture, I'm not talking about yogurt culture, as in what you have that you put fruit in and make a morning parfait, and the cultures and bacterium that make up the actual dairy product that you eat. I'm talking about yogic, as in yoga, not the one where you put on, you know, flashy sweatpants and go work out, but the one where you are in constant unity with God. You are literally channeling the universal consciousness and feeling that energy pulse through your body. That energy, by the way, makes you understand that there is no separation between you and your neighbor. Nothing is actually real here in the physical realm. Everything is malleable. Everything is fluid. Everything is thought form. And I'm going to prove that to you with the text today as well. So, no mortal being can look upon this flesh that Jesus returned in. Now, we see a bit of this within the canonical scriptures during the Transfiguration, where he joins the prophets and everything. So, very, very interesting point in the Bible, because it differs greatly from the canonical scriptures of Jesus, and then lays pretty heavily into some religiosity. However, there are many other stories in the yogic traditions of these glorified yogis returning in their glorified body or their light body once they've left the shell of their old body. And so I believe that that is most likely what was happening with Jesus here, if it's to be taken in any form of literal point of view here. So, and quit arguing with others too, Ruby says. Yeah, absolutely. Amen, my friend. Let's see. Oh, I thought I had another comment. I did over here. Raxel says, hey, everybody, I'm late. What text were we reading from? The Sophia or Wisdom of Jesus Christ is what we're reading from today. Let's see. Sarah Rose. Love your name. Beautiful way to spell Sarah. S-E-R-A. Love that. Sarah Rose says, I'm following you on not knowing about history. What are your thoughts on past lives and energetic memories stored in your energy system and soul? Oh, I'm definitely all for that. For me, there, you know, other times we've entered the game, if you will. And there's a few things that I view this game of life as is it could be built in epochs and eons and set forth from a point A to point B when it all culminates, or it could all be cyclical where every part of these scriptures happen in every timeline you're in. The next one you're in might be the year 3333, and you would still see this stuff unfolding then. You could be, you know, born in zero AD, and you would be literally watching this unfold, right? So, like, for me, it's kind of all a fluid thing that, you know, I'm in a timeline right now where the technology that I have is the only way I could do what I'm doing now. Otherwise, I would be out like street corner type thing. So, like, I clearly incarnated in a very specific timeline for me to do the best work that I can, if that makes sense. So this is very hard to wrap your mind around because there's just so many what ifs. Like, nobody really knows. Like, you can listen to near-death experiences and hear what's after this. But again, you don't even know that those people are real. Like, you can go, you know, touch them on the arm and go, oh yeah, you're real. But what is real? If you're defining real as what you can feel, touch, taste, see, and hear, you know, all of those things, those are just electrical inputs. And you can literally synthesize those with chemical compounds through going on what we call a medicine journey. Or you can synthesize those with actual electrode inputs and give yourself the same experiences. That's where, if we're going to level up in VR technology, we can conceivably get to a point where you can actually synthesize anything just as potently, if not more, than a dream state, where you could literally enter a game and play it by going into a trance and then triggering all of these inputs within you so that you can feel and see and do everything as you're controlling it in the game. And that is like insane to me. That is so wild. But again, if that's what we're in now, then we need to start being aware of it. And I believe it is what we're in. We need to start controlling it. We got to take control of ourselves and actually start playing the game. Realize we're the controller. Start controlling the game. So... right, we are all deceived, Nancy says. Yeah, absolutely. And the Great Awakening is now, by the way. That eclipse, that was a marker, okay? It stirred up so much deep emotion in me yesterday. I was completely zapped, and I feel like I was reborn today. Like, I feel like a brand new timeline started today. It's like in a game when you finally beat a boss, like one of the big bosses in the game. That's what the eclipse was for me. I beat a big boss and I finally laid to rest some old timelines, and I had to like detox from it yesterday. Just like a hero in a game might need to go recharge up, go get some potions, you know, go and, go to the home base that you built, whatever, in the game. I like fantasy games, so I'm thinking more like Legend of Zelda. Like, you build a little campfire, you get all your foodstuffs out, you build some new things that you need to go fight other battles, all of that stuff, you know, all of this spiritually, of course. And you get ready for the next one, right? Because you know there's another one coming because you ain't done with the game. You got a lot of game. There's a lot of exploring. You might need some equipment to explore. You might need some for more big baddies, like whatever's coming down the pipeline, you got to be ready for. And that's how it was with me after the eclipse. It's like I had finally finished a timeline, finally finished a level. I got an extra little heart meter. I got some new potions, some new gear, all of this stuff, maybe some new clothes. Maybe I'll look a little different, sound a little different, feel a little different. Maybe people look at me and go like, oh, that's weird. Like, Cub's a different character now, slightly different character. Like, he's leveled up. And that's literally what the eclipse was for me. And so as we go to this Mountain of Olives within the yogic tradition, there's this idea that you don't see the truth of an olive until you squeeze it. And so just like we go through this game and we get squeezed a little bit in the game, the olive oil comes to the surface, which, by the way, is holy. It was holy in ancient Palestine and Judea. It was holy in all of the yogic traditions. It's even holy now. If you can get some really good EVOO, you get the good stuff, right? You make some really good meals with that because it's such a holy oil. It takes time, pressure, care, distillation, and ultimately seasoning to make a beautiful, beautiful olive oil. And in these yogic traditions, you squeeze the olive, and the Mount of the Olives is where the oil, the Christ oil, Melissa, you'll love this, the Christ oil raises too. So you got to go to the Mount of the Olives. And ultimately, for me, that Mount of Olives is the heart chakra. That is where the divination happens. The divination and joy are going to happen in your higher chakras, but you're going to alchemize them and distill them into the actual spiritual oil on your heart seat. So, by the way, if you're like, what is this dude talking about? I'm not really sure about all the chakras and stuff. I have a free blueprint. You can go grab that at supernaturalblueprint.com. That's supernaturalblueprint.com. Type that in to the actual search bar, or to the actual URL bar, not the search bar. The search bar will just give you all kinds of weird results because this is a new URL and it forwards you to a page on my website where you can download the free Supernatural Blueprint. You can also find it by going to the link in my bio, and there's a banner at the very top of my main website there, cubcooker.com. You can click there. Go get the blueprint. It's going to walk you through your seven metaphysical chakras within your metaphysical body, but also I add the earth chakra and the soul chakra. And then this is going to help you understand this whole journey. This is your hero's journey, by the way. It's going to help you understand it 1,000% more. And I put this in this blueprint because as I started going through all of these mystical teachings and even the teachings of Jesus, I'm like, gosh, this is all about like your ascension journey through the chakras. And this is all about your wheel of karma and your wheel of the zodiac and all of your incarnations. And so it's imperative. If you don't understand your chakra system, please understand them. I lay them out in literally the most beautiful, understandable, easy to figure out system in the Supernatural Blueprint. You can go grab that at supernaturalblueprint.com. Chris says, symbolology, once widely understood, will give the world an awakening of true power, a power that's been hidden by the keepers of knowledge. Chris, amen, brother. Absolutely. And that's one of my big missions on this earth, is just to help people think differently. I don't want you to think about things and be right. I just want you to think about them, think differently. Think like, get away from like the narrative that you think, you know, because somebody else told you, and get into the narrative that you feel. Get into like, you know, if you're seeing numbers everywhere, maybe numbers are important to you. If you're seeing colors or symbols everywhere, maybe those are important to you. And there's these universal symbols like Chris just talked about here, that are used in everything from numbers to the chakra system to the zodiac. All of these ancient stories are talking about the same things, especially when they throw these numbers and stuff in there. You can almost bet that they're about things like the 12 apostles of the zodiac or the seven demons that Jesus casts out, famously out of Mary Magdalene. We all thought, oh, you know, he healed her or whatever. No, he literally just cleared her chakras. That was all it was about. It's about clearing the divine feminine and the divine masculine, and clearing the chakras and opening up the ascension path to knowledge and truth. And it's a beautiful thing. So, Opal Star, how are you, my friend? Appreciate you being here. Thank you for joining. Thank you for the follow. Let's see. God's Word Made Flesh says, hope you take time to research my evidence of God. Hey, my friend, I'm pretty sure we got plenty of evidence here. I mean, we're not here to prove a literal God, but understand the universe within and understand what that being outside of self actually is and outside of this universe, which we're going to talk about. So, and then we actually figure out through that there is no universal being outside of self, because the true self is where the universal being resides. It's within all things. So, Exactly. She raises the Christ oil within and activates her chakras. Exactly. So 100%, my friend. Thank you, honeybee. So as we kind of round the corner here, this is where it gets very interesting in the scripture today. The Savior said to them, I want you to know that all men are born on earth from the foundation of the world until now being dust. So he's literally saying here, you're born to die. You are born from dust to dust. Like, we know that from the old scriptures. While they have inquired about God, who he is and what he is like, they have not found him. Now, this echoes when Jesus says in the Gospels, no man has seen God at any time. Then this goes on to say, now the wisest among them have speculated from the ordering of the world and its movement, but their speculation has not reached the truth. Now, this is super controversial here because remember, the timeline or in the narrative Jesus was born into, whether you believe it's literal or, you know, part of the narrative for us to understand the self, is they had a construct. Again, just looks just like what we have now. You got a religious construct that literally runs the game on everything. You've got a political construct that, you know, holds the hot iron to everyone. You've got a social construct that literally had its own hierarchies within it. And we see the same thing today. And just what Jesus is saying here is that even all of these prophets, I mean, we're talking about Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now, again, much love and respect to anyone who's of an Abrahamic tradition. Okay, this is not for you today. I love you. I respect you. I want you to believe what you believe. I'm not trying to change anyone's mind. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying for mysticism, for the spiritual tradition I follow, we have to understand that what Jesus is saying in this particular scripture is that, hey, even these prophets, they didn't even come close. Okay. They attempted, but they didn't actually come close. He says, for it is said that the ordering is directed in three ways by all the philosophers. Okay. And hence, they do not agree. For some of them say that the world is directed by itself. Now, this is self-perpetuating universe, right? That's what a lot of us believe. You know, if you study physics and stuff like that, the universe had a big bang, and then it's like self-creating, started all of these systems and processes, and basically this algorithm of creation that we live in, right? And again, that's believing that all of this is literal too, and that everything you see out there, even if there's a physical planet you can go and lay your hand on, it's still part of the algorithmic simulation of your existence. And what we're told in all of these spiritual traditions and the metaphysical traditions is none of that's real. The cup I'm drinking out of, which I need to drink, is not even real. The water is part of me. The water is part of my being already. I just took a drink of it. It becomes part of me. There is no difference anyway between me and the cup. You have all these chemical compounds, which are all fluid anyway. They are all resting vibrations of light that we agree upon. That is this compound. You get into particle physics, and you know, we can have some crazy conversations. And then you talk to a chemist and there's a whole different conversation because there's certain rules and laws and regulations within chemistry that say this cup is made of BPA-free plastic, but particle physics would say that this cup isn't even real. There's nothing there. This is only there because I agree that it's there and it is literally a lower vibrating manifestation of this universal energy or light source that is running through the entire universe. That it is, in essence, illusion. So this is such a deep, deep thing to get into. And I am not a scientist, nor am I claiming to be, nor am I claiming any of that to be scientific data. That is merely my humble understanding as a metaphysicist, being way outside of physics and just studying the metaphysical traditions here. So So that's the first one, saying that the universe basically takes care of itself. It runs itself. It's a self-created and self-operating system. And Jesus says, he's about to say that none of these are close to the actual reality here. So others say that it is providence that directs it. Providence means divine provision. God himself created everything and perpetuates everything and makes sure everything works correctly and all of these things. Jesus says this is not the actual reality either. Now, this is in stark contrast to what the Christian church teaches and I grew up with personally, so I can speak out on it because I personally grew up knowing, I knew, you know, going to church, God created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Not only is that not true, that is not even a good translation because it is the gods, multiple plural. It is the Elohim created, okay? And if you look at the word for created too, they're actually manipulating. They are probably more like terraforming and making something out of what was there rather than just like you would sculpt with clay. You didn't make the clay, but you're making something new out of it. And that is mind-blowing for me when I discovered that. And again, that's real data. You can go look up the actual Hebrew translation of the Old Testament and understand that Genesis 1 is the Elohim, the gods. Okay. A lot of scholars talk about that too, especially ones that are not trying to prove the Bible by the Bible. So you got to understand where there's bias too when you listen to different people. So for some of them, say that it is self-directed. Others say it is providence or divine provision. Others say that it is fate. Now, fate being, how is fate different than divine provision? Fate is the thing, you know, if you remember the Greek fates, like they're cutting the strings and like this person's born and they have to be this and they have a soul contract and they have to do that. Jesus is saying here, that is not the actual reality either. So the idea that, hey, I have a soul contract, I came here to do this job and it's my fate that I have to do all these things and go through it. No, that's just your agreement. There's no predestined divine fate that was prescribed for you is what this is saying in essence here. So, and then Jesus says, but it is none of these. Again, of the three voices I have just mentioned, none is close to the truth, and they are from man. So Jesus is literally saying here, according to this set of scriptures, that none of those philosophies are actually the actual reality. He says, but I, who came from infinite light, I am here, for I know him, the light, that I might speak to you about the precise nature of the truth. For whatever is from itself is a polluted life. It is self-made. Providence has no wisdom in it, and fate does not discern. But to you it is given to know, and whoever is worthy of knowledge will receive it. Whoever has not been begotten by the sowing of unclean rubbing, but by the first who was sent. Now that is all capitalized there. First, who was sent. For he is an immortal in the midst of mortal men. Okay, what is this talking about? We can take this dogmatically and we can go, oh, this is talking about Jesus himself. We got to worship Jesus. We got to make an idol to Jesus. I got to hang a cross on the wall. I got to do all this stuff. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about which came first, the chicken or the egg. Did your spirit exist or did your flesh exist? Because the flesh is carbon-based. It's from this planet, from dust to dust. There is no truth in your flesh. The true part of you that is resting within the flesh is the spirit. That's why the God of the Old Testament and the Christ light are not simpatico. Because the God of the Old Testament accuses the flesh over and over and over and over, even with a written law to bind the flesh, accuse it, and keep the soul trapped. And the Christ light reveals the truth about what is within us and the true being that we already are. And therefore, that's what he says. If you are worthy to receive this, how do you become worthy? Well, you have to come into agreement with the truth about yourself in the first place. And that is, I am not the flesh. I am not what I look at in the mirror. I am something much different, something much more. And it doesn't look like this. The place that I'm even thinking from, the place that I'm feeling from, the place that all of these experiences are even happening from, including my reflection in the mirror, is something outside of this. It's something within me that doesn't even have root or basis in this reality, or what the Hindu would call the tree of Maya, or this physical illusionary realm that we live in. And this is where it gets very deep. Matthew says to him, Lord, no one can find the truth except through you. Therefore, teach us the truth. Now, again, what Matthew is saying here esoterically is not, I need the person of Jesus. I need the idol of Jesus to find the truth. Because again, we've seen over and over and over, we've got 2,000 years of church tradition, according to histories, or at least narrative, you know, in the deconstructed view, of saying Jesus is the way, right? But you got a whole lot of people that are completely lost who claim Jesus, but do not know the truth about themselves. And therefore, what they have given themselves is a prescription for an idol named Jesus, not a spirit named Christ. So there you go. There's the mic drop moment. And so what Matthew is saying here is, we can't find the truth except through you. And again, it's not through the person, but through the energy, or the salvation energy, or the Christ consciousness here. And then the Savior said to him, he who is ineffable, and this has capitalized, he who is, very similar to I am that I am. He who is ineffable. No principle knew him, no authority, no subjection, nor any creature from the foundation of the world until now, except he alone, and anyone to whom he wants to make revelation through him, who is from the first light. From now on, I am the great Savior, for he is immortal and eternal. Now he is eternal, having no birth, for everyone who has birth will perish. He is unbegotten, having no beginning, for everyone who has a beginning has an end. Since no one rules over him, he has no name, for whoever has a name is the creation of another. Now, this may sound like really easy mode philosophical sauce to just sprinkle on your current belief system of God, but this requires a complete deconstruction of everything we think we know about God. Everything we think we know about, you know, God is a warrior. God requires sacrifice. God is this. God is that. God is jealous. God is the most high of all the gods. Like, none of that, even the most high of all the gods, is still a part of the construct. And until we can deconstruct that, think about the word deconstruct. Deconstruct. Con is right in the middle. So you got to remove the great con, the illusionary reality that even the Elohim are somehow what should be worshiped and elevated. Because really, the Elohim is just us. Ye are gods. We've entered this realm, this illusionary realm, as these gods. That's why every person on this planet has a god they resonate with, a demigod or a god. And you are a demigod. You just have to contact that higher being within you, but then you got to keep going to the unnameable one. Keep going to the one that is not called Jesus. Thank you, AU. Jesus loves you too. But we ain't talking about Jesus today. We're talking about the unnameable one. Remember, Jesus, he is us. Jesus, he is us. You got to remember that and understand that he is an allegory for us. Are you guys picking up what I'm dropping today? I know I'm on a bit of a different frequency and wavelength than I normally am, but this is coming from a very alchemized place after the eclipse this week, a very sure place of this is what I'm supposed to be teaching. This is what I'm supposed to be vibing in. This is where I'm supposed to meet people at, because more people are waking up to this. And it's time to start speaking out about it in a very loving, respectful way, right? I'm not a religious channel and I don't want to be religious about what I'm talking about, but I have to be honest to myself, about what I actually believe in practice. So I have no idea how to say your name, my friend. Zungu, I hope I said that correctly, says, honestly, I don't understand these things. Hey, no worries, my friend. I don't either. Like, don't, I'm not some guru here that I'm like, dude, I get all of this and you need to understand. Like, I'm not that guy. I have had flashes, glimmers, glimpses, feelings, like fleeting moments of knowing that I am God, knowing that I am Christ, knowing that I am not only a part of this divine narrative, but I am literally what all of this is created for, to be in this illusion. And it's either a fun game or it's meant to be some sort of purification process, like a school. If you guys, you know, say that, you know, the universe, this universe is like a school for the soul, however you wish to view it. I prefer to view it as a fun game that I chose to become a part of. And that every time my consciousness wakes up in a being, no matter what timeline or period it is, it has all of these universal things that I've planted within it to remind myself of the truth. But there's plenty of other, we call them non-player characters, that are meant to lull me back to sleep, that are meant to, you know, when I'm like, oh, I had this awesome spiritual experience on the eclipse, and then somebody's like, nothing happened. And they're like, well, no, that's not, Jesus didn't talk about the eclipse. You just need to love him. I really hope you would consider, you know, finding Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Guys, I get that all the time. I got a comment that's like a book. Somebody wrote a freaking book on my YouTube channel about, you know, I understand why you feel this way. You've been hurt by the church, Cub. You need to come back to Jesus. Dude, you need to figure out who Jesus is. You need to stop and smell the non-existent roses, because all is illusion. And we're about to see what God actually is here. And it's going to blow your mind. Just spoiler alert. It's going to blow your mind. It blew my mind. I knew it, but it blew my mind anyway. What's up, Benny? How are you, brother? I haven't seen you in a while. Thank you so much. Come into your full potential, Lucifer says. Stay alive. Amen, my friend. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's a difficult game by design, Douglas says. Exactly. If you designed a game for you to go into, and, you know, one of the parameters would be, hey, I need to not know it's a game. If I know it's a game, then it's not as fun, right? And at every point, I need to be able to, you know, try to fall back asleep into the game so I can fully play the game, right? And if you fall into that sleep, right, then you're playing the game, you're in the game. But Jesus said, be in the game and not of the game, right? So he said to be awake and lucid and realize you're playing a game. That's how you become a game master or an ascended master. So, let's see. Mind Cruiser says, so is this what Bashar says? We create our own reality. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's, you know, very, very on point with what I'm talking about here. So, no, I don't do timeout. I just block people that post the same thing over and over. Sorry, dude, you're gone. Esoteric Eric says your NPC voice is on point, by the way. Thank you so much, my friend. Let's see. Muslim Brody says Cub is delivering us with the truth. Thank you. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate that. Wendy says, I quit. Hey, don't quit the game. Don't hate the game. Hate the player, right? Don't hate the player either. You're supposed to love all the players. And don't hate the game. Realize you agreed to be here. Level up your character. Open up your eyes. Have gnosis of the game. And then you can make it easy when you need to. You can put it on easy mode. You can also put it on hard mode. You can put it on, you know, what is that thing where you go and... you use like the codes and stuff, the little hacks in the game. You can do that too with this reality, right? You just have to learn how to do it, right? Exactly. Esoteric Eric says, Wendy, don't quit. Just level up. Absolutely. You got to level up. So let's see. Jesus is very real and he loves you. AO says, we are imperfect, finite beings existing within the constraints of time and space and have been gifted with the free will. We have the choice to live within Jesus, with Jesus in heaven, or separate from Jesus from eternity. Ayo, do you look? Ayo, I'm gonna say that's good. Hey, I like your name because now I can just kind of like holler at you and ask you a question. So, ayo, do you think that's literal? You looking for a literal Jesus? Like, you think you're gonna be beamed up to him? What do you think? Like straight up, tell me, what do you think? Do you literally believe that? Or is there a small part of you that thinks that Jesus might be an allegory for the ascension within you, the actual Christ within you, that Jesus maybe in his timeline, either historically or within the narrative, might have been an avatar of that Christ consciousness to literally show you that it is possible for every flesh being on this planet to wake up as God? That's my question for everybody today. Whether you're in the church, you're leaving the church, you're deconstructed, you've never been to church, you don't care about church, you do care about church, you're completely committed to the message of church, whatever, you're welcome here. I want to have conversations with you in loving, respectful ways. And my biggest question is, do you literally think that he's coming to save you? Because if you literally think he's coming to save you, then I'll tell you right now, he told you over and over and over that he wasn't literally coming to save you. He said that it does not come with visible signs. He said only those with eyes to see and ears to hear. He told you where he would meet you. He used symbols of the zodiac. He used numerology. He used symbols in the sand. He spoke in parables, so that those hearing would hear and think they understand, but they did not have the ears to hear and they would not understand. And he said, to those who have more will be given, and those who do not have even what they have will be taken away. And that is a comment on the self-understanding of this simplistic doctrine that we have that runs through the church all the time. Is the idea that, simplify it, you just need to know Jesus. What the heck does that mean? You don't even know what that means. Like, you have it so deep in your head that I've got to know this idol of Jesus, right? I got to shut the door because my wife is home, which is my cue that we're at an hour, so we're doing good today. So, you know, again, my question is like, where are you sitting with that? Are you sitting literally, or are you sitting like, oh, well, Jesus for me is that, like, well, if for you, it's this, then still, we're not talking literally. So, Muslim Brody says, exactly, Cub. Thank you, my friend. Ayo says, we do not have the ability to ascend by ourselves, only through the Christ consciousness, right? What is the Christ consciousness? It's what you open yourself up to have God realization. It's spiritual practice. It's understanding how to deconstruct the matrix around you and actually approach yourself as a divine being, as a being of light and something that is not the flesh, right? Dreamstar, what is up, my friend? So Godson says, I believe he equipped us with the power over everything in this world so that we don't get controlled. Amen, my friend. Absolutely. Jordan says, what are your thoughts on some of the messed up stuff Jesus said? Yeah, exactly. Indentured servants, obey your masters. Again, we got to look at that esoterically. There's multiple points of view that can happen with that. Some of the scriptures were straight up butchered and added to. Like, we got to understand that too. Even within the canonical scriptures, the birth story of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection story, they mimic things that happened in ancient Egyptian mythology. Okay, that's why I explore the ancient mysteries here, because I understand and I know what these connect to. Like, you got to understand the whole Osiris resurrection story and the Jesus resurrection story. Where is all of this coming from? So, if there's a literal historic timeline, some of that stuff may not have even been present, other than Jesus being a little boy or Yeshua being a little boy. And he is living out his life there. He already has a prowess to understand these things and ask questions just like a little kid. Why are you saying this? Well, why this? Why that? He's like teaching with authority already at like 12 years old. Then he disappears for 18 years. Okay. Most likely he went to India. In fact, and I'm going to read these if I can find them. There's actual documented historical documents from India that show where Saint Isa came to India and lived for about 18 years before going back to his homeland. And he learned from the yogis and the ascended masters there and learned the ways of the Buddhas. He learned all of the mythologies and the stories of ancient Hinduism, from Lord Krishna to Shiva to Brahman, the universal super consciousness within you. And that he came back and took this to a time that was literally heavy-handedly controlling. This is God. This is how you serve him. If you do not do that, you will be stoned. And that was literally built into the construct there. And we do that like esoterically today too. If you don't agree with somebody about the literal salvation through Jesus, you know, you get, you know, put on the proverbial cross, if you will. And you know, it doesn't last very long with friendships and even family members at this point. But again, more people are waking up and questioning these things. So, when I say this isn't literal, I'm not here to diss on Jesus at all. In fact, I probably teach more effectively about Jesus than anybody on the interweb right now. And I actually believe that because I actually feel that. Okay. That's not a claim to fame. That's a spirit about me. I feel like I am one of the few people that are speaking from the freaking soul about who Christ is and the true message of Jesus as a mystic and a yogi, not somebody who came to dogmatically die for your sins and step in your place. Because salvation is not about that. Salvation is about God awareness. If you're not aware of God, he won't be aware of you, right? God, he, she, they won't be aware of you. It's like once you see, you know, what is it? The same eye that looks at the universe is the eye that looks back at me. I don't remember who said that quote, but it's like once you see God, God sees you, you become aware of each other. Can God see you before that? Absolutely. I'm actually going to show that in the scripture here. So, and I'm going to keep running through this so I don't run out of time and miss the end of this scripture, because it's very, very important what we're coming up to here. So all men are born of the earth on the foundation of the world until now, being dust. While they have inquired about God, who he is and what he is like, they have not found him. Now the wisest among them have speculated from the ordering of the world and its movement, but their speculation has not reached the truth. For it is said that the ordering is directed in three ways by all the philosophers. And I just went through that. So number one being providence, number two being fate, and then the other one being self-facilitating, basically. Okay, so I came from infinite light. I am here, for I know him, the light. But to you it is given to know, and whoever is worthy of the knowledge will receive it. Whoever has not been begotten by the sowing of unclean rubbing, but by the first who was sent, for he is an immortal in the midst of mortal men. Now, I think what he's referring to here is a lot of the creation stories. It was the unclean rubbing. It was the creation of sowing these seeds that were essentially created to be, you know, facilitators of the gods, to worship the gods, to serve the gods, to literally take food and provision to the gods, because that's originally what humanity was. Eric von Daniken does a lot of literature into this, by the way. So, then Matthew said to him, Lord, no one can find the truth except through you. I am the great savior, Jesus says here, for he is immortal and eternal. Now he is eternal, having no birth. Everyone who has birth will perish. He is unbegotten. That's why when Jesus talks in the canonical scriptures, again, we don't have all the data in the canonical scriptures, because a lot of it was chosen to be left out, and a lot of things were actually added later on to complete a narrative. And we have to understand that the teachings are different than the narrative. And the narrative is what we all know about the story of Jesus versus his actual teachings. 2% of your entire Holy Bible is the teachings, the red letters of Jesus. And most people ignore that fact because it's like, why? Like, why are we ignoring what he actually said? If he's the most important person in all of history, why are we sleeping on his actual message and actually practicing the spiritual tradition he was teaching rather than the narrative around him? Because he said, who do you say I am? Well, Paul said he is this, he is that. And yes, he says here, I am the great Savior. But again, we're talking about the Savior here. We're talking about the transfigured, the higher version of Jesus, not the flesh Jesus here. So very different thing, which, by the way, you have a side to you. So he is unnameable for no, he has no human form, for whoever has human form is a creation of another. He has the semblance of his own, not like what you have seen and received, but a strange semblance that surpasses all things and is better than the universe. It looks to every side and sees itself from itself. Okay, this is talking about God here. So you want to know what this is? Listen up. It looks to every side of itself from itself. Since it is infinite, he is ever incomprehensible. He is imperishable and has no likeness to anything. He is unchanging good. By the way, that is straight out of the Hindu handbook on the highest good, the Brahman, the super supreme being, the super consciousness of the universe, the unchanging good. He is faultless, he is eternal, he is blessed. While he is not known, he ever knows himself. He is immeasurable, he is untraceable, he is perfect, having no defect. He is imperishably blessed. He is called Father of the universe. And if you've ever wondered why does Jesus call the Father, because we're talking about the Father of the universe here. And we're going to talk more later about the Mother of the universe. We've gone through a bunch of scriptures talking about that, but this is the Father of the universe here. So Philip said, Lord, how then did he appear to the perfect ones? The perfect Savior said to him, before anything is visible of those that are visible, the majesty and the authority are in him, since he embraces the whole of totalities while nothing embraces him. So even while nothing is embracing God, even while you're not embracing God, he still embraces you because all things are in him. And he is in all things. So he is in all things, even if all things aren't in him. You can choose to be in him, though. That's what I'm trying to say. And then here's the final, this is the final cherry on top here. And I want to reveal this before we jump off, because this, we're going to talk about this. I want to take some questions and comments on this and really dig deep on what this looks like. Before I do, please consider joining the Mastermind community. If you like what you're hearing today, there is a lot I cannot talk about on the interwebs. We are going to have a post-eclipse session on Saturday within the Mastermind community on our Zoom call. We have a Zoom call not once a month, not twice a month, not three times a month, but four times a month, maybe five, depending on how long the month is. We literally have it every single Saturday where we get to come together, hearts and minds, go through all of this stuff together. If you like what I'm talking about today, you are going to love being on the Zoom call. And if you can't join the Zoom call, or maybe you're shy, you can either turn your camera off. You don't have to be like super forward and go meet all kinds of people, but you can also watch the replay, which is available in my academy. You're going to get access to the academy, the community, which is a private off social media community, where we can have real conversations. You're going to get access to all of my courses, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of video teachings in there, all based on these ancient mysteries, everything from spirituality, mysticism, faith, developing your belief systems and frameworks, even spiritual entrepreneurship and how to be a positive leader. I have everything inside my Mystery Academy there as well. And you're going to get access to all of that, including messaging me. If you join, I will reach out to you today and make sure I connect with you. I do my absolute best to reach out to every single new member. It is incredibly affordable and highly valuable. So don't miss out. I closed it down for a couple of days. It is back open. If you hit the website, you noticed you couldn't sign up for a couple of days. You can now. It is back up. And like I said, it's insanely affordable. Nobody else is doing this type of package as affordable as I'm doing. So please consider joining. It's a great way to meet other people, get to know me, really develop what you believe, and start stepping up as a supernatural leader. We need you on planet Earth right now. We need more people that understand this stuff, more people that are willing to learn. You don't have to understand anything to join. 111 on the viewers right now. Thank you guys for confirmation. We need more people that are willing to learn and level up together. Somebody said earlier that like I quit. Like, no, don't quit. Level up, and we're going to do it together. We have challenges in there too to help you level up, keep accountable to your goals. We've been talking all week about the eclipse and all of the things that people have been experiencing. It has been such a wild ride. And to know that you're not alone and you have a safe place to talk about it where you can be honest and open, but also to get on the calls on the weekend if you're available, is literally invaluable, guys. So this is a real virtual community that actually loves each other. People of all walks of life. We've got an incredible group of ladies that are watching now. You can scan that QR code, and I promise I'll connect you with some of the ladies in the group that are absolutely fantastic. It's a great co-mentor community. www.cubkuker.com or click the link in my bio. You don't have to do it alone anymore, guys. Stop trying to do things alone. You don't have to be alone all the time. There is community out there right now for you, okay? And this, the reason I don't do it as a free community is I've tried that before. I tried to have a free and a paid community, and 1,000% of the time, the paid community was always better conversations, higher quality people, people that were invested in actually helping others, and that's why I have a paid community. It's still incredibly affordable, but it helps support what I'm doing here on the channel. So www.cubkuker.com. Come and join us. I'd love to meet you today. I will personally reach out to you via private message on the app as soon as you join. I appreciate you guys. Thank you. Okay. This is the final thing, the final countdown. In fact, I'm going to dim the lights here. There we go. There we go. Just get it nice and chill in here, because I want to reveal to you what God is according to Jesus here. This one line can change your life. I want you to write this, write it on your arm, write it on your notebook, write it on your heart. For he is all mind. He is all mind. Exactly, Dreamstar. We got to set the mood. Set the mood for the Lord here. I got a candle going. The lights are just right. He is all mind. If you don't realize that you're creating with God, this is your opportunity right now to realize that. To realize that your reality, what you experience, is what you're agreeing to. Your reality and what you experience is the result of the power of God. It is the energy source that powers the simulation that you're a part of. It is the energy source that powers the life of your body. It is the consciousness of you, the higher consciousness, 444 on the clock for confirmation. It is all mind, and mind is an invisible spirit. It is something, it is non-local. It's not in your brain. I'm not talking about God is brain. I'm talking about God is mind. Mind is outside of the brain. The brain is to connect to the mind. We have a mind between all of us. We are a collective consciousness. Jesus even talks about this in the canonical scriptures. You've heard, share the mind of Christ. Jesus said to renew yourself. You've got to renew your mind. This is about the meditation and going within. And I'm not talking go sit on a log like a frog all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm saying find the place where you feel like you're at home within you. when you find that place, it's an uncreated place. It's an ineffable place. It's a place that nobody can touch. Nobody can create it. Nobody can destroy it. Nobody can take it from you. Nobody can manipulate it for you. It is all you and your personal, intimate, direct experience with God himself, herself, whatever you choose to call it. This place is where God is all mind. And for me, that is one of the most beautiful things to understand about this scripture. And it gets even way better as we keep going through. But please, please, if you write down one thing today, understand that. I want to share a bit from the Bhagavad Gita talking about this emanation of God, this uncreated version of God, this universal form of God that is not the God of the Old Testament. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God of any of the prophets. It's not the God. It's not the Egyptians' gods or the Norse gods or any of the pantheons or the Sumerian. When you get into this and you understand in the Bhagavad Gita that we're not talking about a particular image of God here. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 11, verse 8, and I'm going to be reading forward. It says, "But you cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes, by which you can behold my mystic opulence." And then in 11, verse 10 through 11, Arjuna saw in that universal form unlimited mouths and unlimited eyes. It was all wondrous. The form was decorated with divine, dazzling ornaments and arrayed in many garbs. He was garlanded gloriously, and there were many scents smeared over his body. All was magnificent, all expanding, unlimited. This was seen by Arjuna. Chapter 11, verse 12, "If hundreds of thousands of suns rose up at once into the sky, they might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. Then, bewildered and astonished, his hair standing on end, Arjuna began to pray with folded hands, offering alms, we're going to say, to the Supreme Lord." Because this word is a word we don't use in English. It's called obeisances, and it's not like to be overweight. It's like blessings and prayers and alms and, you know, kind of begging him, like, you know, he's about to ask him to make it stop, basically. So let's see. Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled together in your body all of the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as the Lord Shiva and many sages and divine serpents. O Lord of the universe, I see in your universal body many, many forms, bellies, mouths, eyes expanded without limit. There is no end and there is no beginning, and there is no middle to all of this. Your form, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs, is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, and it's fiery and immeasurable like the sun. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the best in all of the universe. You are inexhaustible, and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of religion in the eternal personality of Godhead." By the way, when this uses religion, it's not talking about dogma. It's talking about the practice. And there's a huge disconnect between what we consider religion in our modern time and what ancient religion was, which was the continual practice and observance of these scriptures to continue to experience the things that are detailed in the scriptures, not be found good enough, but to actually have God contact through that practice. So very different, in case you're wondering why that word was used in there. So that is the Bhagavad Gita version of this glorified Christ that we see and the uncreated God that is all mind. Because remember, Arjuna had to be given new eyes. He couldn't see with these two eyes because it would have blinded him. These are flesh eyes. You have to see it with the third eye, which again, I never refer to the third eye as the pineal gland or anything like that, because this is all illusion anyway. I view it as the metaphysical singularity, the non-dualistic eye that I see with as an eternal being, the Cyclops self that doesn't have two human eyes, but rather the two human eyes and the third eye to see the spirit. And that's a whole different understanding. So Dr. Nicholas Curtis says, what are you reading this from? That was from the Holy Bhagavad Gita. Beautiful, beautiful Indian epic. Just bought another version of it the other day, actually. Started reading through it again last night. One of my favorite scriptures in the world, honestly, that Gospel of Thomas, and then the red letters of Jesus in the Bible, not necessarily in that order, but it really helps unlock that. So if you've never read the Bhagavad Gita, I highly recommend it. The one from Penguin Publishing is really good. I'm going to put that on my website soon. That's the one I picked up yesterday because it has commentary up front and then scripture. And some of them I've picked up have commentary, scripture, commentary, scripture, commentary, scripture. And I just want, you know, if you're going to read it and understand it, you need to read the scripture part of it and try to, like, what does it mean to you, in my opinion? So, Sarah Rose says, my understanding is that all the chakras are spiritualized. Beautiful understanding. Beautiful. I love that. And I do agree with that. The way I lay them out in the Supernatural Blueprint, by the way, sorry, I'm fidgeting, playing with stuff on my desk here. The way I lay them out, is like the earth chakra is, it pertains to education because you got to go back to the earth. Like you learn from Mother Earth all of the things that it means to live here, but also the supernatural elements of Mother Earth. When you get really intimate and understand that the rocks aren't rocks, the rocks talk to you. Like the water is fluid, but it actually speaks to you. Everything has a spirit within it, right? And so that's really how I explain it all. And then you get to the root chakra. Your root chakra is actually your root to tap down into the education of Mother Earth. And as you continue to raise that, you have things like your intuition and your motivation, which is going to be up here in, it's going to be up here right under your heart chakra. And then your heart chakra is where you're alchemizing things. And it's actually the regeneration chakra. And so like I tie these in the Supernatural Blueprint to things you can actually remember rather than just like, oh, this one has to do with these things. Like I give you the one word process over 9 steps of ascension, starting with education, ending with ascension. And it's a beautiful, beautiful journey. And when you begin to understand it that way, it helps unlock these scriptures. It helps unlock the words of Jesus, helps unlock every experience you have in your life, by the way. And it is such a beautiful thing. That's why I put the blueprint out. That's why I will keep promoting the blueprint. It's free. It's fun to go through. It's something you'll probably want to print out, save on your phone, refer back to. I will keep it updated as I have any more insight about it. So you're always going to have the updated version. It's over at supernaturalblueprint.com, supernaturalblueprint.com. Like I said, type that into the URL bar on your browser, not the search bar. The search bar is like the one in the middle with the little search. The actual URL bar is going to be at the top where you put a direct URL bar in, so, or a URL in. So, yeah. Hope that helps. Okay. I'm going to grab a few questions, comments, prayer concerns. What's up? Manifest by Laura. How are you, my friend? Lauren Steyer says, yes, beautiful. By the way, we have a lot of people in our mastermind community on today. Y'all don't be shy. If you don't love it, you can cancel anytime. Our retention rate is insane. It is insanely high. People are like, how do you keep people that long? Like, I don't force anybody. When you get in, like I had somebody join the other day, like after a year, and they're like, I should have joined a year ago. So don't wait. If you resonate, jump in and try it. If you don't love it, you can cancel anytime. Like no hard feelings. It's easy. You can cancel in your account portal. Once you sign up, it'll drop you on the welcome page. And then you literally can cancel from there at any time. So go check that out, www.cubcooker.com. Love to have you. Love to meet you. Love to get on a Zoom with you on Saturday, as well as the rest of the community, get to know each other. We're going to be going over this more this week. It's a great, great series. So let's see. Yeah, exactly. Festus said, like whatever you imagine Jesus as, he'll communicate to you. If you imagine him as the blue avatar of Krishna, that's how he'll communicate to you. If you imagine him as like the Greco-Roman, you know, lily white dude, right? That you see in a lot of paintings and stuff, that's how he'll manifest to you. If you imagine him more feminine, he'll manifest to you that way too. So like it literally, this is what we call tulpa, because again, you're not trying to necessarily connect with the actual person of Jesus. You're connecting with the spirit of Christ within you, which is the ascended human. It's the true being within you. That is the only savior, is to find out who you really are, connect with that, become that. Jesus said, become like me, become that. And then you approach God. Then you actually know God intimately. And then you don't need a Messiah, because the Savior is already within you. It's a totally different deal. People keep telling you to wait on the Savior or the Messiah to come. You're going to keep waiting. I'm sorry to break it to you, but he keeps returning within you all the time. Keeps returning within me. Lots of people are having him return within them. Ladies, that's why you have Mary Magdalene too. This whole idea of the Christ is fully present within Mary Magdalene as well. And so if you don't vibe well with the masculine side of this, you might vibe well with the feminine side of this. That's why this universal truth has been painted in 1,000 different ways so that you don't miss it. And if we keep arguing about the literal version of all of this, we're going to keep missing it. So let's not miss it. And let's look at all of the different paintings of this, all the different points of view. And I think it's beautiful. Martin says, we wrestle against rulers in high places. The high place is the mind. Exactly. By the way, the rulers, the principalities, these evil leaders of the world, they're all in your mind, by the way. Like, you want me to tell you like the most mind-blowing thing? If you believe the world is full of oppression and, you know, evil, you're going to see that. It's all in your mind, and you have to rewire your mind first before you see an external reality that reflects that. And the more you see it in the external reality, it's more of a test for you. Do you speak out and do you stand up for what you believe in and what you know to be universal truth, not some baseline of truth that you're like, well, this is truth so, because pastor told me or mom told me or it says in the Bible or whatever. No, like, what do you know to be universal truth? What is the only universal truth we can agree on? It is love. Love is the highest and most beautiful frequency, second only to authenticity. And if you can be authentic in love, you can literally be a demigod and reign over all. And when you begin to understand that reality is fluid and you can manipulate it, it's very disturbing, because you start to feel like you're alone on this planet, because you are the only being, the only begotten Son of God, and everyone is you, and you are everyone. And until you embrace everyone as the self and the self as everyone, i.e. the Atman is Brahman and the Brahman is Atman, or I am God and God is me. Remember, he is in all things, but not all things are in him. And if you agree to be in him and you embrace all things as you too, then you can be in him as well. Do you guys get what I'm saying? Like, I know this is deep, deep philosophy today. My face is hurting from like talking about it, because this is just so much data dumping out after I alchemized it on the eclipse. So, let's see. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Dreamstar. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Douglas. Let's see, common denominator. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Motley says 100% this is an awakening. Yes, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, and honesty, Dr. Nicholas Curtis, absolutely. Honesty, authenticity, love, all of those, the highest frequencies there. And here's the deal. People can be honest about a lie they believe. Like that's where honesty gets to be muddied waters too. Like authenticity is always relevant, because if you feel a certain way and you're authentic about it and you vibe with something authentically, you may change your mind in 30 to 90 days, but at least you were authentic about it and you got to exercise the practice of being authentic. Now, where people take it too far is they try to go change other people, and they're like, Jesus is Lord and you need to believe this and you don't understand and this is the timeline that happened and I'm just being authentic to what I know to be true. Well, you might change that in a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Guys, I'm telling you, I worked within the church for 7 years professionally within ministry, and I know that it is not only possible but probable that you might change your mind. So being authentic is one thing, being dogmatic is another. And so Motley says, I used to do that. Yeah, same here. I did too. I had to save everybody, right? Well, I wouldn't even save myself. Most people that try to save everybody, they don't even know what that means. Much love to them. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just saying, I know from experience, when I was trying to hardcore save people, I guarantee you, I didn't know what salvation looked like. I'm only now starting to understand what that actually is, what that frequency actually is. So, authenticity doesn't try to change others. Others change when you're authentic. Very good. Manifest by Laura. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My friend. Love that. Love, love, love that. Let's see. We can only save ourselves. Yeah, absolutely. Motley says, and it's awesome. Yes, yes, it is. It's a great place to be. It's awesome. So Molly says, hey, all, listen to your higher self. It never lies to you. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's another name for this Christ consciousness we're talking about, the higher self. It's the self that doesn't identify with the flesh. It's the self that knows you're divine and you are perfect and you are beautiful and you are loved and you are not enough. You are everything. Okay. Quit telling yourself I'm enough and start saying I am everything. And be in the frequency that you want to be in and come into agreement of your God or goddess self. And that's when you begin to understand that, okay, this is all different than I've been told. This is all a whole different narrative. And that's what that higher mind that we talk about, or the higher self, that is the Christ consciousness. So Tom Money, what's up, brother? Tom says, glad you're in my reality. Me too, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Hope you're doing well, my friend. Having a beautiful day here. It's been a rough eclipse for a lot of us. Not so much rough, but just like draining, heavy. Like I ended a timeline, and the death, burial, resurrection process is exhausting, by the way. If you think you're going to go through that 3-day period without a scratch, it ain't going to happen. I mean, if you're really going through it, I looked at the eclipse a couple of times with the glasses on. It was still a weird energy. My eyes are still like bugging me. It's so weird. And the last one I looked at, and I didn't have this kind of like headachey and my eyes are dry and feeling, you know, flickery. And it's been weird. So I had a lot to alchemize. I've been watering all day too. So, a lot of alchemy happening within me. And I'm going to share a lot more on Saturday. So if you want to hear that, that's the real stuff, the private stuff I can't share on the interwebs here. So if you want to hear that, come join the Zoom call on Saturday. Hit up that QR code or go to the link in my bio. Love to have you. Thank you guys for being here. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day. Molly says, higher self is part of the all, the source. Yes, 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 absolutely. You are a part of the Godhead. Don't forget that. And so this has been a beautiful scripture today from the Sophia of Jesus Christ. We will continue reading this more this week and probably next and maybe the week after that, depending on how long it takes me to go through it. There's a lot in it. And we have never done it before, so I'm learning as I go, but it's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. I highly recommend it. Go check it out. This one's available over at gnosis.org. Lots of public domain stuff over there for the common good over at gnosis.org. I'm not affiliated with them, but I do love what they're doing, so go give them some love. Go check it out. I love you guys. Molly says, I was able to look at the eclipse during totality. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. I'm jealous. Mine was, we were maybe 80% here. You know, I still saw the thumbnail. It was like a reverse, you know, waning moon or waxing moon, you know, just a little thumbnail sliver of the sun. Never got 100% here in Amarillo, Texas, but it was beautiful. I loved it. I went to my holy place. I got to meditate in my holy place out at this canyon that I love so much. So it was beautiful. What's up, Frank? How are you, brother? Frank says, greetings, Earthlings. Hope all is having a wonderful day. We are. We had a 90 and it was amazing. Manifest by Laura said, ugh, I'm jealous of that 90. I am. I thought we were supposed to have 90 here, but I don't think it was 90. It was more like 80. I mean, it got darker, but we also had a lot of cloud cover, a lot of mist in the air. Go figure, right? So I'm going to share a lot of the downloads I had privately. Nothing bad, just stuff I don't really need to share with the general public. So if you want to be an insider, if you want to join, come check out the mastermind. Check out what we're doing over there. I promise it will benefit you. If it doesn't, if you don't love it, you can cancel anytime. But I'd love to share my experience of the eclipse on Saturday. Ashley is going to be hanging out as well as some of our other people that understand the esotericism behind all of this, the energies. We're just all going to have a big fireside chat, unpack everything, read from our journals, share a lot of the intimate stuff that, you know, needs to be shared with the community because it might benefit your neighbor in a way that you don't even know. So we're going to share. It's going to be beautiful. Honeybee says, I looked at with no blue lens and no glasses. Ooh, good for you. I couldn't do that. My eyes are already hurting and I had the glasses on. So part of the new timeline is to reestablish the Divine Mother's place as equal to the Almighty Father. Yes, absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. So y'all have a beautiful day. I love you. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Honeybee. Thank you, Dreamstar. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Aliora. I didn't see you. Thank you for being here, my friend. Brenda. Big Chris, thank you guys, appreciate y'all. Motley, Manifest by Laura, thank you guys. Y'all have a beautiful day. God bless you. Laura Caves, thank you for being here. Have a beautiful day. God bless you. Namaste and peace.